Welcome to Offensive Lines. I'm Marlon.
I'm Boyd.
And we're winners.
That's our, what, our third 3-0 week?
Yeah, and what do we have? One or two 0-3s?
Two. But then they were week two and week three of the season. We went 3-0 the first weekend, and then we went 0-3 for 2 weeks, and then we went, well, that's four. Because then we went 3-3 in week four. 3 out of 3. It's been boom or bust this year. What are we at? 5% profit?
under. But still under a five. Profit. Still a profit.
Through 15 weeks.
I mean, banks advertise that you can get, 1.75% on a 90-day term deposit of over $10,000. So finding a 2% profit in this world is not that easy.
Well, if we'd have just taken Cleveland and San Francisco and bet against them on the spread every week, I think it's like 23-4-1 you would be or something like that.
Yeah, 23-4-1. It was 84% or something. I saw the same stat. And I also think if we'd just taken the home team, regardless, on Thursday, we'd be somewhere around 70%.
So that's all the games we would have had to bet? We wouldn't even have to do a podcast. Yeah, yeah. We're taking Thursday night game and Cleveland and San Francisco to not cover. And we'd be up about $400. How come they only put these trends out in week 14?
Well, because they're crazy trends. And
no, I bet you put even something if you out had, week 8?
You take out the Thursday game, and I bet you if we just bet Jacksonville not to cover, we just choose the three biggest losers, who we kind of thought would be big losers this year, and we just bet against them each and every week, we'd be far better off.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have taken the Rams, between the Rams, Jags, Browns, and Niners. Oh, I need the Rams to keep losing. Get us in the top four.
Yeah, that pick is hoping, looking great.
I'm hoping we make the playoffs. Knock on wood. And that the Rams lose out and we get fourth or fifth pick in the draft. Which, for a playoff team to draft that high, doesn't happen anymore. Rarely.
No.
Rarely. And if the GM isn't fired in LA after this, then... Because you drafted a quarterback that doesn't look like he has a clue after being in your system for almost a full year. And you traded your first round pick this year to move up.
Yeah. Well, we thought that trade was insane when it happened. Yeah. Like, I congratulated the Titans on managing to pull off this move, but I could not believe it happened. For both quarterbacks looked pretty fucking mediocre, and we saw, the best one appeared in the fourth round.
Yeah, and the our new GM might have turned the franchise around with two trades: DeMarco Murray, which we gave up a fourth round pick last year. And we get Philly's fourth round pick this year and Murray.
Yeah, and you absorb and the Rams salary.
Trade. So?
Yeah.
And the Rams trade.
But that's not a problem, because signing a free agent running back who would have produced like DeMarco did this year would have cost you that salary anyway. So I thought that one was a little questionable, but I'm wrong.
No, he turned around the fortunes of the franchise with two picks. If we get the pick in this coming draft, right, which in my opinion will be the top corner on the board, we should be all right.
Yeah. Now, that said, I mean, it speaks to his interpersonal skills, professional and all of that, but if anyone had turned down that trade that the Rams offered, they should have been pilloried into the public square, you know? That it didn't take a genius to figure out that that was the way to go.
But was anybody going to take Goff before the Rams got to him anyway? That's where the GM should be fired.
You would have got
one of the two without making a trade.
Yeah, Dallas wasn't going to take him. I suppose there was... No, Dallas wasn't going to take him. Chargers weren't going to take him. And where were the Rams at? Six?
Five.
Yeah.
Isn't that where the Titans picked? Five or six. And we got what we needed in offensive lineman from Michigan State.
Well, that was where putting some faith in Mariota, well-deserved faith, you know, even his rookie year, which was ragged, to say the least, there was something there that you don't give up on for at least 3 years, right?
Well, yeah, so you're not going to draft an old lineman.
Quarterback. You have no need for a pick that high. I just still can't believe that either of those trades, the Cleveland or the Rams trade, happened. I think whoever, the Eagles GM, the Rams GM, are both fucking morons.
Well, Browns, yes. And yeah, the Rams now too.
No, the Browns traded their pick away, and they got a bounty.
So we'll have to see, right?
You know, the Browns made the right move there. And that's why I thought you were never going to get that trade, because the Browns trade moved first.
Well,
that was just Lemmings running off a cliff. Oh, no, they're going to take a quarterback. We need to get a quarterback.
I'm hoping it looks something like Dallas.
Yeah, it's...
I know, Marla. I know.
It doesn't have the volume, right?
No, but it changed the fortunes of the team already this year.
Yeah.
Because the running game took a lot of pressure off of Mariota.
Yep.
And made his game a little easier to manipulate.
Your O-line improved.
And we got the best running back in the draft last year, I think, didn't we? And Henry is in the second round.
How about Ezekiel Elliott?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, I'd like to see Henry get the carries Elliott's getting. Because he's getting 9-10 carries a game and putting up 50, 60 yards.
Well, I think part of that is when they bring him in, they're not keying on it because they figure, oh, DeMarco Murray's out. I like Henry a lot, too. I mean, you know, I traded for him from you in one of our leagues. I like his talent a lot.
So, it changed our season and our future seasons.
Yeah,
in two moves, and we still got an old lineman that's very good. I don't see Tennessee had Pro Bowlers the last few years that never got any attention because we stunk, but we got five this year. Casey, Murray, Delanie Walker, Brian Arakpo. Oh, fuck.
Now, you got Arakpo from Washington?
Yeah, free agent.
That was a nice signing, too. That's kind of underrated in the uptick in Tennessee's fortunes.
Well, it went in line with getting LeBeau in, right?
Yeah.
He needed the linebackers, and we moved Derek Morgan to linebacker from a rush end, which was a good move. So, and after the win on Sunday, fuck it. That's the happiest I've been after a football game in 5 years.
Okay, well, I'm just going to bounce through our bets here.
Okay.
We had Pittsburgh -3, which looked like a disaster at halftime. I was reading, I didn't watch it, didn't really watch any of the morning, there was nothing compelling to me on that board, because I couldn't see Tennessee-KC, which I thought was the best game on the slate, but Cincinnati, in classic Cincinnati fashion, took 4 straight penalties on defense on the go-ahead touchdown drive, if I read that piece correctly in Football Outsiders.
That's...
And in the comments, it wasn't like they were saying they were bad penalties. Like, they shouldn't have been called.
Yeah, like the Pittsburgh calls we always rail against every year.
Yeah, and with Pittsburgh, I kept waiting for this one was questionable or that shouldn't have been a call. They just said, no, four straight. So.
Well, we'll have to thank them for winning that bet for us because that's the only way. Pittsburgh could do nothing but kick field goals the whole game until that one touchdown pass.
Yep.
Was that not set up on an Andy Dalton pick, I believe, too, or something? There was a pick somewhere involved in that whole debacle for Cincinnati.
Because they had a big lead at the halftime. I was counting that as a negative, and I'm thinking, Pittsburgh on the fucking road. Well, when we talked on the phone on Sunday, even though I hadn't been watching, you were just going, yep, Pittsburgh on the road again. Fuck them. But, bravo, they came through for us. Then we had nothing till the night games. We had Tampa Bay plus +7. A bet we both quite liked. You a little more than me.
Yeah.
It also looked bad. We were bailed out a bit by Bailey being put out to kick 250 plus yarders, of which he missed both.
Yeah, but is that bailed out, or should they have just punted?
Well, Tampa Bay didn't turn those missed field goals into points.
No.
It was that hurry-up offense to start the second half where they actually took the lead, and Dallas looked a little bit helpless. And what I couldn't figure out was... Once Tampa Bay's offensive line completely collapsed as... now his name's escaping me. The end for Dallas was just a wrecking crew. They couldn't block him with a double team and a chip. At that point, why don't you give the ball to Doug Martin a couple of times?
Yeah, anything to slow it down.
They just came out. It was three passes. And every time it was like third and long. Every time. When your offensive linemen cannot block their rushing scheme and you've got a decent enough back who, he was fine. What it does, though, you don't care about his yards so much as the fact that it slows down the fucking pass rush.
Or even a screen pass here and there sprinkled in.
Yeah, and I don't think they threw to Doug Martin at all. He's a good pass catcher. And in space, and he has a burst. Seemed a little bizarre to me. The other thing I took out of that game was you get in Winston's face a couple of times... He starts to get happy feet, and he starts to look panicked to me. Your opinion?
Yeah, with young quarterbacks, but I've seen Brady when Denver was getting in his face last year.
Yeah.
The feet started bouncing. So it's every quarterback, but I agree with your point. But the happy feet come to everybody.
Yeah, and I said to Shelley, he's a second-year quarterback, but I'm going... When you punch him in the face a couple of times, he sure seems to get rattled. But second-year quarterback, I still think he's a good one. I'm not really changing that opinion.
No, I think the top two picks will be from last year will be linked together for a long time. Yes. To see who and compared to see who's had the better career. Because they're both going to have decent careers. It's just a matter of how good the team is around him. Like, Tampa needs another receiver. That's for sure, because Evans was, every time I seen the ball thrown to him, was double team and late and just on scramble plays.
He was open on a sideline route, though, that was gone, and Winston just overthrew him. He had two steps. Wide open. But I just think this is a case where they would have been served once they had the lead to not just go chuck and duck. They abandoned the running game entirely. And in a tight game like that, I think they've got to remember they've got a pretty good running back that they're paying a lot of money to. That was my takeaway in that game.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I agree. When you get the lead, then you can start mixing things up a little. Yeah
when you were down to start the second half, come out and hurry up, throw the ball all over the place. But that worked. It worked. They couldn't have had it work any better. They took the lead, but then when slowing the game down would have been to their advantage, they didn't even try. And they were just getting killed on the right side of that offensive line. It was just terrible. And then our final pick of the week, we had Carolina +6.5. I really liked this.
Yeah, I liked it, but yeah, you liked this one more.
Yeah, sort of the reverse of the last game. And this was
The only thing that scared me was Washington had been putting up points against everybody, so.
And Cousins
got 300 yards passing.
Cousins got 315 yards, but they shut down Fat Rob. Washington could get nothing going on the ground at all. Carolina's pass rush has come alive. They forced the, I won't call it a strip sack because it was knocked out by his own O-lineman being blocked into him. Then they recovered the fumble on the toot. Carolina did. Punched that in. And this game was kind of a rout. The only reason I watched the entire thing was we both had some fantasy implications. Which went mine our way for fucking once. Yeah. Well, mine I wasn't too worried about.
No, fuck.
I've been kicked mine. In the balls by fantasy well, so many times that...
Me too, but that's... I had a 30-point lead. He had to score 30 with James or Jonathan Stewart going. And he almost got there. I ended up winning by 6 points.
Yeah, it was
that. He almost broke a touchdown in the last 4 minutes. It had me fucking almost shitting my pants. Thank God he doesn't have breakaway speed anymore, or he would have been fucking gone.
Yeah. The only player I had to fade was Reed, the tight end.
Yeah, but and you had like a 40-point lead. Like,
fuck. No, I didn't. It was high 20s. But I looked at the numbers, and I had Olsen going. After the first quarter, I wasn't even worried at all. But when Reed punched a guy and was ejected, you know, that sealed my fate. So I got to relax a little more. But I was kind of, you and I are facing in the finals this week. I kind of wanted to face the only team that's beaten me twice this year. So I was actually pulling for you. You got to beat the best to be the best.
Well, I think I'm dead the way your team's going, but we'll see. It's been a weird year in fantasy.
It's always weird. It's so fucking random.
Yeah, when Bilal Paul wins a week for me, it's fucking random.
Any one game contest could go either way.
We should start making the finals 2-game total like in the other league we used to be in.
Yeah, I'm still in that league, and to tell you the truth, it's still random. I had a 6-point lead, and, you know, the next week, my team had averaged 90 points per game, and I got 32. So, it's still fucking random. Anyway, enough about our fantasy, because that's the most boring shit on the planet.
Yeah.
All right. But, so, let's go back to that Tennessee game.
Okay, well, you were just talking about how Tampa Bay didn't run the ball when they got the lead. Tennessee didn't stop even though they were behind.
Bravo.
Even on the last, we were down 17-10 with 6 and change left on the clock, and we still were running the ball. Murray had a great game against a good defense, put up a standard 85 or so. Henry had 55 and 2 touchdowns. Mariota didn't run, didn't complete a bunch of passes. We had 3 turnovers. And still somehow on that last drive, he converted 2 fourth down plays, 1 to Walker, 1 to Murray. The 1 to Murray was fucking all pro level throw to the back shoulder on the sideline.
That was a great fucking throw. If you obviously didn't see it live, I can't remember where I watched the replay, because I read somewhere that that was a thing of beauty, and I went and looked at it, and I'm just going, holy shit, that's...
It was the only place he could put it. But it was perfect. Because Murray was covered pretty well on that throw. Well, it didn't matter. If they gets picked off and returned for a touchdown, who gives a fuck?
Because no, but not I completed, mean more than an incomplete there. To complete that pass, you need perfect timing and perfect communication to even release the ball. It's an incredibly difficult play to pull off.
Yeah, it was. And then they go for two.
That is what I wanted to ask you about.
Didn't mind it.
I kind of like it myself.
Was pissed off when they didn't get it, or didn't even get the ball out of Mariota's hands, really. But, because the only part I didn't like about, I don't mind having the balls to go for it. The only part I didn't like was you're in the same spot whether you get two or tie it. Right? You're still banking on the defense because there were still 3 minutes left in the game. So you're still banking on your defense to get a stop. Right?
Yeah.
So if you kick it and tie it, you're still counting on your defense to get a stop. Now, maybe, as Simmons pointed out in his podcast with Cousin Sal, if they kick the extra point, Kansas City goes for it and isn't conservative, and it turns out totally different. Because we stuffed them on three running plays, get the ball back with a minute left, and I tweeted at Doug, one of our loyal listeners, I said, 40 yards for the win. And we got two pass completions for 40. We got just enough on two pass plays to get inside the 40 to the 36. And I have to thank Andy Reid for icing our kicker, because the first field goal fell about 3 yards short, and he drilled the re-kick. Hit it about 57 and fucking frozen football, 57 yards. Now, the only part about that I didn't like was the thanking God, because that was all his doing, he said, after the game. Suck up. I'm like,
God
no,
doesn't care about
it.
Football teams.
You kicked it. You did it. There's no divine intervention on a fucking field goal.
We're both atheists, but I know many people of faith. And I think it's offensive that God would care which team wins.
Yep. So, but I was in disbelief when it went through for a minute. And then I just stood up off the couch with my arms in the air and went, yes. Yes. Didn't scream. It was like, fuck it. We haven't won a game like that that meant something in a long fucking time. We've won games like that, but they never meant anything. And we've beat three really good teams, or not really good, three good teams in a row. Green Bay, Denver, and Kansas City. And I'm thankful we got Green Bay when they were in their downturn, because I don't know if I'd want to play them now.
No, you guys kind of woke them up with that cruel curb stomping you put on them. But, no, I know the feeling. I mean, longtime listeners heard me melt down when the Chargers made the playoffs and then beat Cincy in the playoffs. Games that matter are so rare for our fucking teams that it's nice to remember that feeling of when it matters.
Yeah. Yep, it was. Now I just have to win out. And we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it might be an interesting week 17 this year, because it's shaping up for Green Bay, Detroit mattering a lot, and Houston, Tennessee mattering a lot.
So which game do they flex? Because Houston's like the fourth or fifth biggest TV market.
Oh, Green Bay, obviously. It's got a national audience.
I know. I was just hoping.
Yeah, no. You knew the answer to that before you posed the question.
Oh, let's hope fucking Green Bay loses and that game means nothing.
Yeah, I don't want to see Green Bay, Pittsburgh, New England. I mean, as horrible as it sounds, I would be forced to cheer for the Raiders.
So, yeah, me too, probably.
And even in the Tampa Bay Raiders Super Bowl, I couldn't bring myself to cheer for the Raiders.
Well, no, I couldn't either because they beat the Titans in the AFC Championship game. Last good run of Fisher.
Speaking of the Raiders, interesting football game. I mean, losing as many players as we had. I mean, Farrow made a crucial fumble. I think the best play Carr made was his scramble for the first down and switching the ball to the inside arm. Because when I first saw it live, I thought, oh, there's no way he got that first down, which was going to be challenged, but it would have been short if it was on his outside arm. He switched to the inside and stuck his arm out enough for the line. It was a good call. He threw a brutal pick. But I worry about the Raiders that they only beat the Chargers varsity squad by 3.
Yeah, but they beat...
They've had so many close wins that at some point the cup of luck runs out.
Yeah, but I'll give them a pass with Carr playing with a bad finger right now.
Yeah, but is that finger getting any better? He can't take snaps from under center at all.
No.
Cooper was a non-factor.
Well, all their receivers were non-factors.
Well, oh, that the touchdown by Crabtree.
Yeah, it was a great catch.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful catch by Crabtree. I'd probably be more bitter about it, except I needed it in fantasy. they ran all right. It shouldn't have been that tough, considering it was a home game for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Never. We've talked about this for years, how San Diego had no home field advantage, that it was a vacation destination for whatever team was visiting. And why not? Because it's San Diego and it's beautiful.
Yeah, if you're going to take a trip to watch your team, you're not going to fly and watch them play in fucking Cleveland.
Yeah. But that said, I've never seen anything quite like that. I'm only gratified that there was no violence that I've heard of.
Oh, there was fights.
Well, I'm certain there were.
It was a great one I put on the website today. It was up on today's post. There was a Raiders fan sitting a row behind a Charger fan, and then there was another Charger fan a row below that standing up yapping at the Raider fan. So the guy filming it was right behind the Raiders fan's shoulder. So these two guys are yapping at him. One guy's sitting down, one guy's standing up. And the Raiders fan looked over his shoulder at the guy that was filming it. So I'm assuming they're friends. And he told him, I'm going to punch this fucking guy, so get it on tape. And he fucking clocked the guy. He looked over his shoulder back at the camera and then clocked the guy in the head. Okay. And that was as long as the clip was. But it's like, okay, they planned to tape him punching a guy.
Well, sometimes I guess the Raiders are still the Raiders.
Yeah. But I got a question for you. After hearing a stat watching that game, are you ever going to give up your bias on keeping Rivers?
Quit it, Boyd. Let's...
Marlon, they're 9-22 in his last 31 starts.
Yeah, and we have 20 people on injured reserve. Boyd, just don't.
But
just don't, Boyd. If you're going to say, because, yeah, you dump McNair, and 20 years later, you've got a team.
That's not it.
It sure didn't help you.
Because there's, I'm Boy, not basing please, it on just Marlon. Don't. No, but you listen. Don't. You 3 years, 4 years ago in the podcast, we always said if you're not competing, blow it up.
And
this is the only one you disagree with.
Then what do you get for him? And you've got no quarterback, and we can draft someone like Goff. Or, okay, how many drafted quarterbacks are looking great?
And this, Marlon, this isn't a shot at Rivers. You take it personally like...
Boyd, seriously, he's just stop it.
No, but here's...
I'm not interested in this fucking conversation.
Here's my take, though. Here's my one... I thought of this tonight, who he would fit in with and would give him a chance to win something. There's one team, Houston, would give him a shot at winning a Super Bowl.
They can't. They can't afford it. They got Osweiler.
Well, I can cut him.
But, no, they can't. They're still paying him $18 million. You they can't get, cut him.
You get Fuller back or something, a receiver, in that trade.
No.
Just
seriously, Boyd, I'm sick of this.
I just think back to the talk we had. If you're not competing for the playoffs or being good.
Well, yeah, and you could get someone who was going to be great like Kaepernick.
But, okay. You're never going to change your mind. I'm just talking logistically, not any fandom shit. If it was any other team in the league, it would make sense. I know you like Philip Rivers.
It's happened never in history, Boyd. So, I don't know. Take over GM.
Okay.
All right. That said, can we move to a game?
Sure.
All right. Thursday night, New York Giants -2.5 at Philly. You know where I'm going.
I'm taking the Giants. Eagles turn the ball over too much.
Yeah, I don't even think about it. And
they turned the ball over too much. Matthews ran well last week. Giants defense is playing. I don't know where this came from. But they've turned a pitiful defense around in a year.
Oh, yeah. Giants are a better team, but let me just go. Baltimore at home, cover. Carolina, only the bizarre Luke Kuechly and a late comeback. New Orleans gets it at a half point. Minnesota, or Detroit, who I went Minnesota the last time I went with a road team, does not cover. Next time, Minnesota covers. KC covers on Oakland. Seattle covers 16 points. It's Thursday night home. I just refuse to think about the teams.
Okay. I'm taking the Giants.
Yep. Next up, we have Atlanta -2.5 at Carolina.
I like Carolina here.
I love Carolina here. I just wish it was for 3 fucking points. You know?
There's never enough money coming on Atlanta.
No, that. I know, but don't you?
I do too.
This is some, like, if we put this in the mix, do we look at buying a half point?
What, tease it half a point?
You can buy an extra half point for, like, another 10 points of VIG. If this is -110, do we go there, move Atlanta to 3 points, pay -120, and take Carolina?
Well, why don't we just wait on it? If this is the one we end up with, why don't we just wait a couple of days, see if it moves?
It's a possibility, too. I'm just saying, this is a case where a half point would please me. Because I do like Carolina a lot here.
No, I don't have a problem buying the half point.
Okay.
I just don't want to do it on Tuesday when we could do it on Friday. and just see if the line moves.
Yeah, you're right. We could put it out as a strategy, and then we both check twice a day, see where the line's at. And if it goes to 3, just bang it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because if it stays under 3,
I would be Carolina more comfortable. Carolina on the money line.
Yeah.
No.
So per minds think alike. shit. No, I like this game as an underdog game.
And I can see going all underdogs this week, by the way. So we're definitely of a like mind here. If we're gonna take the spread, we want to get to 3 somehow.
Yes.
And I don't know that the line's gonna move. I think a lot of people are gonna see that Carolina is playing pretty good ball since that Seattle humiliation.
And what Atlanta's done has been against shit.
Julio may be out. I mean, if he comes in, maybe we'll get that extra half point.
Well, and the other thing is that Carolina's been stuffing the run.
Oh, they completely. Well, they were gang tackling in that game. And that's what they did last year. Stewart's looking good. I mean, his holes are good for 4 yards, and then he's taking it 8. And I don't think Atlanta's rush defense is any better than Washington's. Maybe worse. So this game is definitely in the mix, and I like it quite a bit. Next up, we have Miami, +4 at Buffalo. This is a stay away for me.
Yeah, this stinks to high. This game shouldn't be 4 for either team. What are they? Are they just basing this on historical facts?
I have no idea.
Miami stinks in the cold.
How many times did Miami throw the ball? Like, Moore had a ridiculous number of yards, but wasn't it on like a total of 10 completions?
Yeah, it was like you threw like 20 or 22 passes in that game.
Jarvis Landry outran a guy for 66 yards. And I don't really know how the hell that got so out of hand. But
so what, Buffalo beating Cleveland makes him that good?
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but how is Buffalo favored by more than 3 points?
By a playoff team. If the season ended today, Miami's in the playoffs. And Buffalo's a 4-point favorite. The only thing I can think of is the cold, that Miami historically is shitty in Buffalo late in the season. But I don't want to touch this game.
No.
For our picks purposes, I'm taking Miami. Or is it the LeSean McCoy factor?
I think it's LeSean McCoy, and for that reason, I'm mentally flipping a coin and taking Buffalo, the home team. I've got no argument to support that. This is
total Miami's stay a little away. Better defense than.
Yeah. Oh, you saw them kill Petty?
Yeah. They're a little better defense than Cleveland trots out, so.
Yeah.
And that Joe Thomas from fucking Cleveland must be one fuck of a left tackle. He's made the Pro Bowl 10 years in a row, and they've won about 12 games in his 10 years there.
Yeah. When I saw that come up.
Like, what losing team gets a fucking Pro Bowl left tackle as his quarterbacks are getting carted off every year?
From what I know, though, and I don't watch enough Cleveland to really say, no one seems to be saying they're undeserved. But why he keeps saying, no, I'm happy staying here. He comes up in trade rumors all the time. And if
the only
if chip
they have left.
Yeah. But they never seem to pull the trigger. They must want a king's ransom for him. So by the time someone accepts him in a trade, he's going to be done. Because, right, it's 10 years. All right. Next up, we have Minnesota plus 6.5 at Green Bay.
Oh, give me Green Bay.
Yeah,
I took the Vikings last week against Indy, thinking their defense could do something, but now that the Packers seem to have found a wide receiver that can play running back, fucking Gore had over 100 yards last week. I think it's his first one of the season.
It was, even though he's had a solid season for a geriatric, but I like Green Bay a lot here. I think their defense is playing better. It hasn't really shown totally, well, like...
Fuck.
Jordan Howard did rip him up, but that wasn't until 10 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, but the Bears did the exact same thing against Tennessee. Tennessee dominated for 3 quarters and 5 minutes, and then almost lost, just like Green Bay did. I'm not worried about Minnesota being able to put up that kind of offense against. I think Matt Barkley's better than Bradford.
Yeah.
I had thought Bradford had turned the corner when they were 5-0, and he was making smart plays, and they were running the ball, and the defense was playing well. Fuck.
I 2-7 by my theory there. Nine. Suddenly he had a bye week, and he started to think, or was asked to think,
and it all fell apart. Yeah, but that doesn't explain the defense.
No, but I think at this point that entire team is quitting. We like Zimmer.
I don't think they're quitting on him. Don't just
come out to the press and insult your whole goddamn team.
Well, when you get beat like that, what are you gonna say?
Well, no, he did that though in like week 8. I mean, I think the tough love only goes so far with the athletes.
But I don't think what he said in the press would be any different than he'd say in the locker room.
No, but there's something to be said for keeping your dirty laundry in-house. No one likes to be publicly shamed.
No, but if players can go out in press conferences and criticize offensive coordinators and coaches, fuck it. You're fair game.
Oh, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying the reaction is. Because, well, I can't figure out Indy for the life of me. But in this case, I think Green Bay is playing good ball. I don't think Adrian Peterson behind that O-line is going to do anything in his comeback. No.
I don't even know why he's coming back this year. They're done. Just sit out.
His return really sparked them to a brutal performance. I'm with Green Bay as well. Next up, we have the New York Jets plus 16.5 at New England.
Give me the Patriots and let's move on. They're saying Petty may start. Who cares? Him, third string, doesn't matter.
I know the big numbers all covered last week. New England still doesn't impress me. They'll do enough to win. I'm taking the Jets.
Well, I don't know how the Jets are scoring anything. They're going to turn the ball over 2 or 3 times. Either quarterback in, it doesn't matter.
I would not put a dollar on this to save my life.
Me either. That's why I wouldn't even tease
the Jets 22.5 and put a dollar on it. But New England is good, maybe the best team in the league, but they're not good. You know, to go to your argument, there are no great teams.
No. There isn't.
I think they'll do enough to do it, and then they'll turtle up. This is a New England team at this stage that will take a 14-point lead and sit on it. You saw it in that Denver game, whereas old New England teams would have gone for the jugular to put it out of reach. They were quite comfortable grinding. Oh, I know. I know, but they're very comfortable with the W.
Yeah, but this Belichick's got a hate on for the fucking Jets.
No, and this was going to be another FU season. All of those narratives mean nothing to me. New England's going to take their win, start resting their guys if they get a comfortable lead. They're not going to step on anyone's throats. They don't have to. Next up, we cannot bet. San Diego, -6 at Cleveland. I'm all about Cleveland.
Yeah. This is my lock of the week.
Yeah.
Cleveland win outright.
I'm putting down $5 on the money line, even though I was very disappointed that it was only +220.
Well, it's only +205 now.
San Diego shouldn't be favored by 6. I can't recognize this team. Barksdale got limpy and wandered off. That O-line is an absolute atrocity.
You got a Pro Bowler, though.
Even that I find fishy.
Is that your safety?
No, he's the cornerback we got from Green Bay, slot corner. Because both of our other corners are on IR, he was put into the number one cornerback spot. And he has 7 interceptions, but that's because people decided to test him. He's fine. Huh. If I could get 3 corners, if I could have Verrett, Flowers, and him out there, we've got one of the best secondaries in the fucking league. When it's just him, interceptions are misleading, right?
Oh, yeah, they're not a repeatable stat.
Revis in his prime didn't lead the league in interceptions. Because no one fucking tested him.
Or any of the Dion.
Yeah.
No, it never happens. It's usually safeties with get the tips and the shit.
Yeah, but a cornerback with a ton of interceptions. He's playing great, by the way. This isn't a diss on him.
No, but it's your point is valid.
Yeah, so
when they're scared of you, they don't game plan around you when you have 7 interceptions.
You don't get the opportunity for 7 interceptions when you're a shutdown corner.
No.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not just trying to light him up, but
no, but this might be his breakout year.
Yeah.
And he might be that player next year where they don't challenge him.
And we've got him for 3 years, and if we could stay fucking healthy at all, if we could keep our IR to under 20, I'd be delighted. It's just ridiculous. More than a third of my team is on IR. Anyway, that said, congratulations to him. Next up, we also cannot bet. Tennessee -5 at Jacksonville.
And this surprises me that Jacksonville is +185 and Cleveland's only +205 and they're 0-14. And it's not like Jacksonville's playing the old Tennessee that was 3-10 going into these games or 3-11. It's a little shocking, but I think we blow Jacksonville out. I'm thankful Doug Marrone is staying with Blake Bortles.
Well, to start this week. You see, that would be the move. I like Marrone, by the way, in spite of his bizarre decision to leave Buffalo. He was a better coach for Buffalo than Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's defense is not terrible. Not great.
They played Tom Savage last week and couldn't hold him back.
Yeah, no, I didn't see enough of that to know what the hell happened with Savage. But Tennessee -8 on a neutral field, or, -8. Yeah, I still got to take Tennessee here.
Yes. I think it'll be much the same. You got
too many weapons.
As the first game, it's going to be the same. I think we light them up. We rested our starters in the fourth quarter. I think
your line can maul them a bit. Get holes. You rotate Henry and Marianne.
Yeah.
And you just keep pounding the rock. I wouldn't try to throw against them that much. Oh, just we'll play action late.
No, it'll be play action all day. Murray will have 60, 70 yards in the first half. Because I think we want to put this one out of reach early.
When was the last time Tennessee was a road favorite of 5 points or more?
Oh, probably last year against Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, okay. Or in the outside of the AFC South.
No, only against Jacksonville, not even the South. It was the only time they would have been a road favorite in the last 2-3 years. So, no, I think this is, I don't think there's a trap game here or anything because we're playing Houston next week for the division. I think we go take care of business. And you might be right on the passing.
Yeah.
Or not passing, just to give Jacksonville any short fields or any hope of staying in the game. Just run it and then play action on first down a few times.
My prediction is your backs will get 35 carries between them.
Yeah, that's usually a normal, between 30 and 35. That's normal for us.
Okay. So, I'd even say high, but I just think you're going to keep pounding it because your defense is solid, especially against a brain-dead fuck like Bortles.
Yeah, I'm surprised if... We only gave up, well, it was cold, and I don't know what Kansas City's game plan was, just to ride their defense once they got up.
Well, you told me the hilarious line about Andy Reid. You know, what did Tennessee do to shut down Tyreek Hill? Well, nothing. I had other plays. We just didn't go to him.
Yeah, I could have dialed him up. It's like, what? But in that game, Tennessee's defense made two huge plays in the end zone or at the goal line, stopped Kansas City on 3rd and goal from the 1, 4th and goal from the 1, and got a pick in the end zone.
Oh, no. That wasn't an attack.
I'm not taking it as that. I'm just saying that our defense made big plays to keep us in the game, regardless of what he said about Tyreek Hill. If, like, I'm sure our win percentage was down to about, with 6 minutes left, was probably down to about 6% the way that game had gone. And then after we missed the 2-point conversion, I'm sure it went back down to 6 with 3 minutes left, and we had no timeouts. So...
Well, that was payback for KC stealing the opening one from a emotionally devastated Chargers team in week one. All right, next up, we have Washington -3.5 at Chicago.
I don't want to touch this one.
Oh, really? I like Chicago here.
Yeah, I don't want to touch it.
No? Okay.
They're too... I know
you, you can lob a veto in this, but I'm really strong on Chicago.
Yeah, but they're too shitty. I know they've done the comeback thing, but it's always, I don't want to be sitting waiting and hoping that the Bears get 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
I don't think that it'll get to that. I mean, they should have beaten Green Bay, by the way. And simple question, how the hell do you let Jordy Nelson get behind the defense on that fucking play? How the fucking hell?
No, but Green Bay, they did that last year twice. Once in the playoffs.
Oh, I know, but
he threw 2 Hail Marys on the same drive for 50 yards each against Arizona last year.
And they also threw the absurd one on Detroit.
Yeah.
Do you not think this seems like something a high school coach could learn how to defend?
Yeah, Mind-blowing, but we bitch when they go fucking vanilla.
Yeah, but there's a sometimes a prevent when the only thing that hurts you is a 60-yard bomb.
Yeah, but it was only third and 10, so they were probably taking all the underneath shit away.
No, but the time was almost gone. They had to get up and kick that field goal. Like, I don't care. Third and 10, he takes it 30 yards, fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, who gives a shit if you give up 30 yards in that situation? You know, just going back on Chicago. Detroit stole it late. Chicago kind of dominated the game. I think Chicago is one of these underrated teams that's a betting option. And Washington looks like shit to me.
I know, but I can't. Every game they've had, they're down fucking 14 or 17.
Okay, that's fine. I wanted to make my case. Like, obviously, you don't want to do it.
We have an underdog game that I like way more so far. If we can't find anything else, we can go back to it. But I've watched Chicago for 3 quarters and 5 minutes against Tennessee, and they looked like absolute dog shit. Dog shit. We went conservative on offense, and then dog shit. They had two good drives. Just
want to say, how did Washington look against Carolina?
Yeah, well, don't compare the two. Chicago and...
Okay, you think Chicago shit's stinkier.
Well, Chicago doesn't have a defense like Carolina. Let's put it that
Chicago's
way.
Chicago's defense is underrated. Anyway,
I like
that one, but yards. I'm totally fine. This is how we work. Next up, we have Indy, 3.5 at Oakland. I don't want to touch this.
No, me either, because of Carr's finger.
Yeah, the pick he threw, by the way, one of the worst picks of the year. Underneath, it was late, and it was soft and lazy, and it looked like the finger was screwing it up against San Diego.
Yeah.
So, he's not right. Crabtree kind of bailed him out with that catch. And I can't figure Indy out to save my life. How do they go on the road and blow out Minnesota and Green Bay? And then lose to Houston at home? They're one of my cursed stay-away teams this year.
It was the best thing that could happen to the Titans was them losing to Texans. Because we have two losses against Indy. At least we have a shot against the Texans if we win out.
Yeah, no, it was a great result for you, but I can't figure out this Indy team.
But I still can't figure out, because they said on Sunday, if we win out, we're in. So, doesn't it go division record second?
Tiebreakers? No, it's head-to-head second.
Oh, no, we'd have one more win. We'd have one more win than them if we beat them. That's it. That's how it works. Because we have the exact same record. Fuck, forget my tiebreaker scenarios.
Okay.
If we win out, we're in. That's the math. Fuck, I'm a stupid idiot.
All right. That said...
Thanks for jumping to my defense. That being said, yeah, you're an idiot. Okay, carry on.
I figured I'd just let your own words stand.
Carry on. Okay.
Jesus, who do I take here?
I'm taking Oakland at home. I'm doing
it for one reason, which is when that pass rush gets going. Yeah. Man, but then I think about Benjamin streaking. I think about all the fucking dropped balls San Diego made.
Latavius Murray, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard. That's going to be the difference. Like, if it wasn't for those two red zone turnovers, that game's totally different. We're talking totally different about the Raiders. And Murray doesn't fumble a lot. So I'll take the Raiders.
Okay, you're on Oakland.
And Indy's defense is putrid. And their O-line's putrid. Khalil Mack could have 3 or 4 sacks in this game. That's how Houston beat them. You're wondering how Houston, they lost to Houston at home? Pass rush. What we said all year.
Yeah, about the Minnesota had out a pass rush. No, you make a good case. I'm on Oakland here, too. All right, next.
And let's not forget, Oakland has to keep winning. Tennessee did them a huge favor, but Oakland can't lose another game if they want the second seed.
Yeah, but motivation seems to be less and less important. The more years we watch.
Well, not for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 14 years.
Yeah. It's just their wideouts were shut down.
But it's Indy. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying bet on it. I'm just saying it's Indy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's a stay away for fucking sure. Next up, we have Arizona +9 at Seattle.
I don't know.
Arizona got screwed, by the way.
Yeah, but remember when that defense used to be good at home? Screwed or not?
Oh, I know. No. And it's not like a colossal screw job, but that roughing the passer on Breeze.
Yeah, that was a little weak.
So that means every time Rivers gets sacked because he has no O-line and is swarmed by 4 guys, that's roughing the passer? That was absurd.
And then they don't call the one on Cam Newton last night. The hit to the head. And then he gets
to Shelley. And by the way, that was dumbass of him to flip the ball, because that's one thing that's clearly proscribed in the rules.
Yeah, but I'm glad he did it, because it brought more attention to it. Because if he wouldn't have done it, there'd have been no real talk of it. Because it was the absurdity of them missing the call.
I think there would have been talk of it, because the assumption from Gruden and, I always forget his name, the new Monday Night guy who I don't mind.
McDonough.
Okay.
Sean McDonough.
They were just, yeah, there's the flag, that's assumed. And then when it came back that it was only the taunting, they were just, what?
But no, but that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't, widespread. Yeah, for people watching the game. But they brought
him throwing the ball
brought up the absurdity that there was no call. So if he doesn't flip the ball at him and they run, oh, it'd just be Cam Newton got hit in the head again and no big uproar. But the absurdity that he was the one for just tossing a 12-ounce football at somebody gets 15 yards.
And not at and somebody,
trying to clean
by
up the game.
That's a flip at the feet. Yeah. A guy who made a dirty play on you. In a slide. And that doesn't fit. Like, in the week 1 game, you said he's a runner. He gets hit in the head. And you had a point there.
Yep.
But in this case, it's a slide. And I was arguing with Dave at work today, and he was going, no, he's out running. A running back can't slide. And I'm going, yeah, he can. A running back can give
Anybody
himself
can.
Up.
Don't you see receivers dive when the safety in the corner come to hit him? Marvin Harrison was the king of that in Indy. He'd catch a ball over the middle. When the hit would come at him, he'd just dive on the ground.
Yeah, you can give yourself up.
At any time.
Yep.
That's why you take a knee in the end zone? Because that's the signal that you've given yourself up? Or the quarterback when he kneels down in the victory formation? That's giving yourself up. You can give yourself up anywhere on the field.
Yeah. No, that was outrageous. When Shelley and I were watching, they were just going, what does he have to do? Good thing he had that meeting with Goodell.
Oh, the refs are fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, wouldn't you hear the helmet to helmet? Even?
Oh, yeah, that was his, oh, if I would have seen that, I would have called it.
I've seen guys get...
Isn't your fucking job to see that when you're standing right there?
But I've seen unnecessary roughness called when a guy jumps on somebody that's recovered a fumble.
Yeah.
Well, or a receiver that gets...
We just saw unnecessary roughness when four guys swarmed Drew Brees and there was incidental helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yeah.
We just saw that on Drew Brees, a small white man. I guess being a large black man really is a detriment.
Oh, it's like Shaq in basketball. You never got any fucking calls either.
Yeah, that's a comparison I've been reading, and I don't watch enough basketball to say, but it seems appropriate.
It was brutal. Because he outweighed everybody by close to 100 pounds. So they could fucking... He'd get whacked in the arm three times going up for a dunk and still power through it. So he never got the fucking calls. Well, he couldn't shoot free throws anyway, so it wouldn't have added much to his point total, but it was just like, okay, come on, call something. Because it puts the other team at a disadvantage with the more fouls you get. So, whatever. But Newton's, when are they ever going to give him? Like, when Denver hit him on the running down the sidelines and helmet to the head, I didn't have a problem with that because running backs take it all game. But when you slide like that, you have to call it.
Oh, and I'll just add one more thing to this comment. When Kirk Cousins got shoved in bounds, and just because he flew 10 yards out of bounds, that was a flag.
Yep.
Even though the contact, which was nothing more than a two-handed shove, that was a flag.
Well, I like the one Thomas did. The linebacker, is it Thomas? Yeah. No, Davis, the linebacker from Carolina. I think it was Crowder or Thompson were going out of bounds on that last-minute drive, and he fucking put a helmet in his shoulder and knocked him flying when he was 3 yards out of bounds. Like, fuck you guys. Game's over.
Yeah.
Fuck, we'll take our whacks now.
Yeah, you're going to hit our star.
I loved it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That said, okay, Arizona +9 at Seattle. I don't want anything on it.
Seattle.
Yeah, me too. Arizona is crumbling.
Has Seattle clinched number 2 seed or not yet? Because they're 9-4.
I don't think it's the number 2.
What's Atlanta, 9-5? Now? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Seattle has clinched. Yeah. And actually, I think that's wide open, too, with Detroit and Green Bay. If either Seattle or Atlanta loses out, I think it might be a mess. I could be wrong on that. Okay, Arizona. I was hoping Arians would knock back a couple of drinks and just go crazy at the press conference, but he didn't. Next up, we have San Francisco +3.5 at the LA Rams.
Let's go Niners. Need the Rams to lose.
After seeing the Niners run defense, I'm gonna have to go Rams. If you held on to Gurley all year in fantasy, this might be your payoff.
I'm taking the Niners. Just based on week one. And yeah. Goff's no better than... I know the Niners had lost another couple of guys this week on defense, too.
their rush defense was ridiculous. This looked like the high school team from the poor area that had all the athletes just running against the prep school boys. They would do a basic sweep and it would go for 50 in a TD. Atlanta last week. It was ridiculous.
I'm taking the Niners based on Carlos Hyde. If you got Carlos Hyde like I do, big week coming.
All right. Could happen. He actually played well, but...
Except for the fumble.
Next up, we have Tampa Bay +3 at New Orleans. I like New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't mind them here.
Really? Okay.
What's the... I didn't watch all of that Tampa Bay game. How much pressure did they get on...
Dallas?
Yeah.
They were absolutely destroying the right side of the line. That's what I was talking about. Why don't you give the ball to Doug Martin?
No, I mean the run defense. Or the pass defense, I should say. Like, how much pressure were they getting on Prescott?
None. But, I mean, that's hard to judge because that Dallas O-line can pass block as well as run block, you know?
Because that's what was... They were getting heat on everybody.
Well, I know they... Didn't Tampa Bay lose one of their defensive line in that game?
That I'm not sure of. Possibly. But I can't say. Like I said, I didn't watch the whole game. I watched chunks of it here and there. But...
See, part of the reason I'm going New Orleans here is... Your theory about quarterback ego. Would Tampa Bay have the discipline to just use Sims and Martin against New Orleans, which would be effective?
But didn't Winston crush them this year already once? And last year in New Orleans as a rookie? He had 4 touchdown passes against them?
No, actually, I don't think he...
I'm pretty sure they beat New Orleans in New Orleans last year. Maybe that's Atlanta I'm thinking of this year that they put up big points on in Atlanta.
I don't think it was. I think Tampa Bay might have lost to New Orleans early in the season.
Oh, in Tampa? Yeah, it could be. Okay.
I could be wrong on that.
Were you wanting to bet on this game?
Not particularly.
Okay, good.
No, these are two shitty teams, but I'm taking New Orleans. And you just heard my reasons. I don't think Tampa Bay will do what they should, which is just use Sims and Martin and take the ball out of Winston's hands. Because of your theory about quarterback ego.
I'm taking Tampa based on our bet.
Oh, we already cashed that.
No, not the Saints.
Oh, yeah, okay. Forgot the Saints bet.
We need the Saints to lose both games.
Well, I'd love to see it, but I'm taking New Orleans.
I'm taking Tampa just for the karma.
Okay.
Trying to push down your negativity.
That's impossible. My negativity knows no bounds. Next up, we have Cincy +1.5 at Houston.
I like Cincy here.
Me too.
The defense is playing better. They held the fucking Roethlisberger to 5 field goals last week. I don't think Tom Savage is quite the quarterback. No, Roethlisberger is.
You know my theory, too, about the guy who comes in as the one-week hero?
Yeah.
Once guys break down his film, he suddenly becomes just another guy. And we've seen Savage before. I like Cincy quite a bit here. Me too. I would like to bet them.
Yeah, we'll bet the money line.
Okay.
Because it's +1.5 is -115 It's not worth paying that. Money line's minus 105.
Oh, wow. Betting the underdog on the money line, and we're still paying VIG. Crazy. I think a lot of people are seeing Cincy here.
It's better than seeing paying 10 points VIG for a point and a half.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm just surprised. Usually the money line, I thought we'd at least get plus 100.
No, they're looking at Tom Savage just like we are.
Yep.
They'll be calling for Osweiler by the third quarter in this one.
No, I like this game quite a bit.
And they're all talking, oh, Savage got the ball to Hopkins. They were playing fucking Jacksonville, who were up by 10 points.
And Bortles came out and delivered exactly Bortles-like to get... Anyway.
Yeah.
To get Houston the ball. No, I like Cincy quite a bit here.
Like, Cincy even contained Bell to some degree. And Brown.
Yeah, I don't think Bell got 100 yards.
No. He got close. He got like 85 to 90, I think, but...
And since A.J. Green went down, I mean, since he crushed two opponents, didn't they? One of them
Eifert
was Cleveland.
Back, but they got Eifert back.
But they destroyed Philly.
Yeah.
No, I like Cincy. This is one of my favorite bets.
Okay. Glad we're on the same page on that one.
Next up, we have Baltimore plus 5 at Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. I don't want to touch it.
No, these games are too weird. These
late season divisional matchups have destroyed us in the past.
But I will say this, Baltimore destroyed Pittsburgh the last time they played them. They shut Brown down. That's Roethlisberger's first game back from his knee injury, remember?
Okay, yeah.
And he had like fucking 80 yards passing in the first quarter, in the first half, or through three quarters.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting two cheap touchdowns. I'm taking Baltimore here all day. It's going to come down, all of their games come down to a field goal. Baltimore won there last year.
I think the only way I would bet this would be the try bet.
Well, we've already seen by 5 points. Yeah. I like Baltimore plus 5.
Well, we'd be getting them plus 5, but we'd be paying plus 200. And we'd also be getting Pittsburgh minus 5. We've got the 10-point spread. If we think it's going to be a 3-point game, why don't we consider the try bet on this?
Yeah, I don't like any... we'll see. But if we end up on that one, I'm not against that at all.
Okay. I'm just going to put it down. It's in the mix, but only as a try. Because then we get the 10-point spread and we're betting on a close game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh at home could explode on Baltimore, but I don't think so. Baltimore dodged the fucking
Pittsburgh's
bullet,
offense.
But Flacco's terrible. Is a big problem, but... Okay, you're on Baltimore, I'm on Pittsburgh.
Well, they shut down Bell and Brown the last time. That's what I'm basing this on.
That was Roethlisberger on the road. We know those splits.
Yeah, but still, defense travels, and in this series it always has.
Yeah, and these late division matchups, though, they're terrifying to get into. Next up, another late season divisional matchup. Denver plus 3.5 at KC.
I like KC quite a bit, actually. Denver just can't score. 10 points against Tennessee, 3 against New England. They have no running game. KC has a great pass rush.
Yeah.
Good corners, good safeties. Like, I know Denver has good pass defense and all that crap. The locker room's divided.
KC can't run the ball. And Denver's pass defense does not give up anything.
But they can't score. They just cannot score enough. Do you see Denver getting to 17 points in this game?
No, but I see him getting to 13, making it 16.5, and I see KC only getting 13 points here. Denver just held New England to, what, 16?
Yeah.
I like Denver here. I like the dog.
I'm taking Kansas City. Hill burnt him the last time. They can run the ball effectively enough to keep the pass rush.
They can't run the ball effectively enough.
Yeah, they can. You don't have to. They just need to have it in there.
Casey is terrible. Casey is about two steps above Houston in terms of offensive competence.
Well, Denver's about 10 steps below Houston in offensive competence in the last. They've put up yards, but they can't score.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
they put up 20 against fucking Jacksonville with a defensive touchdown.
I don't know. I don't think Casey's offense is any better. Casey couldn't score on Tampa Bay at all. They lost
what was
them.
The last game they played.
Denver?
Okay, Denver and KC in Denver.
Well, that one was like 30s for both of them.
That was the OT
30-27. That was a great game. Like that was a fucking classic, but that was Tyreek Hill all the way.
That's what I'm thinking happened
again.
There
was a punt return touchdown.
Rushing touchdown for him and a receiving touchdown late.
Well, I'm going to bet this one on the under, but I'm taking Denver. KC, yeah, this spread's kind of right, which is why I don't want to bet it. KC's about a half point better than Denver.
Yeah, no, I'll take KC.
Okay. And the Monday Nighter, Detroit, +7 at Dallas.
Gimme Dallas.
Yeah.
They did nothing against the Giants. I think Stafford's
neither did Dallas, but
no, I know,
Dallas
but I
is just better.
They'll be able to run the ball.
I don't think Stafford's hand has had fuck all to do with that game.
It's got something to do with it.
I don't think so. He looked fine. The Giants' defense was just much better.
If it's affecting Carr, it's got to be affecting fucking Stafford somewhat.
It varies.
I'll take Elliott and Prescott.
Yeah, and that's what it gets down to. I agree with that. Okay, so we are left with, let's just book Carolina.
Well, we're not booking it yet.
Oh, okay, you're right. We're looking for three points on that, and if it hangs at 2.5, we're going to bet the money line on Carolina.
Okay, what other games do we... We've got the Baltimore-Pittsburgh try in the mix.
We've got Cincy. We like Cincy.
Yeah, let's book that one on the money line.
Okay.
So we got Cincy on the money line at Houston, -105. $10 pays $19.52. Booked. Now, which other games did we have?
We have the Carolina one. We have the tri-bet on the Ravens, and the one I really like is Chicago.
You
can
veto
Chicago. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not betting on Matt fucking Barkley.
Okay.
And a team that's down fucking 17 every week. Even though they make it close in the end, I'm not putting my heart through that on a shit quarterback.
Oh, thinking of your own health. Jesus. All right.
So, okay, how do I get to the tribe bed on here?
Go to props.
Okay, so then the only other bet we're going to do is the Carolina. And we'll tweet that out once we've done it.
Exactly.
Is that that's the three-way bets, right?
Yeah.
Is that three-way bets?
I think so, yeah. I did a couple earlier in the season. I won 2 out of 3. And at plus 200, that's all right.
And I think I got alternative total, three-way. The fuck's it under?
There should be something under Tribat.
Main props, score props, team props.
We might lose some audio. Let me just go to the site here.
Game props. Oh, game props, maybe?
It's point spread alternative, I thought.
Oh, no.
This is compelling podcasting.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm speaking for both of us. All right, so Tribat, just go to main props. Just go to football lines, Tribat.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, I see it now. Why is it only giving me the Giants and the Eagles?
Okay, the Tribat may not be live yet.
Oh, yeah, but why is the Eagles Giant? Oh, because it's Thursday? Okay. Yeah. Well, we're waiting on that one, too, then.
Okay.
So that's going to be our bet, people. I don't know what it's going to pay. I'll tweet that out. I'll check tomorrow morning when I'm posting the podcast and see where we're at once it becomes available. I guess because this game's 2 days away.
Yeah, when we go on Tuesday night like this, we, you know, in the past sometimes we couldn't get money lines on Tuesday, so.
So put on the. See, on this try bet, though, it says Giants by 6 or more, Eagles by 6 or more, and then any other result.
Yeah. What we're looking for is the any other result, which gives us either team by 5 points or less.
No, isn't any other result?
No, any other result is either team by 5 or less.
Okay. Well, no, 4 or less.
No, it's 6 or more, 6 or more, or 5 or less for either team. So we're basically betting a 10 point. Yeah, so any other result, though,
would be 5.
Yeah, 5 or less.
No, 4 or less on the Ravens, because it's 5.
No, that has nothing to do with it. It ignores the original point spread. So when we bet the any other result, if either team wins by 5 or less, we're a winner.
Okay.
And it usually pays about plus 200.
Giants-Eagles is plus 180.
Okay. As I said, about.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just giving you because it's 6 on that one, so... It's a little more of a swing. So, yeah, it'll probably be around plus 200 with it only being 5 points. Okay, so we'll tweet those out when we make them. The Carolina bet will probably wait till Thursday or Friday.
Let me summarize this. It's a little complicated. So, we like Carolina for one of our bets. It's currently 2.5. We're waiting for 3. We will take Carolina plus 3 if it gets to there. If it does not get to there, say, late Thursday, we will bet Carolina on the money line.
Well, let's say late Friday.
Late Friday, okay.
Because they don't play till Saturday, but yeah.
The bet we have made, we have taken Cincy on the money line over Houston. $10 pays $19.52. Once the option comes up for the try bet on Baltimore-Pittsburgh, which is, as we've just discussed, if we take the any other result, we have both teams, doesn't matter who wins, as long as the margin of victory is not more than 5 points, we win. Typically pays about plus 200.
Yeah. All right. Good summary. If you want to check out our podcast, you can find it on iTunes or Stitcher for your Android device on our website, offensivelines.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Offensive Lines for any updates to our blog posts or when a new podcast is available. Our personal Twitter accounts at O-Lines Marlin or at O-Lines Boyd, which is where we'll tweet the bets. Facebook.com/offensivelines, and if you want to send us an email, it's offensivelines@shaw.ca. I'm Boyd.
I'm Marlin, and those were our picks for week 16.
Trade Philip Rivers.
Fuck you. Boyd Schultz. Cocksucker.